think Jim thought I wasn't here. Well, I tell you what, I drew a tough assignment today. We got the luncheon. The kids, I think, are going to be singing a little bit, maybe. And we got the big guy in the red suit coming. So, in all of that, I think still the most important thing that we can ever do any day is remember Jesus and what he has done for us. So I encourage you not to let the distractions or just kind of, you know, not making this a special time. Let's look over to Hebrews chapter 12 in your Bibles / electronic devices, however you're going to get there, and we'll get there in a minute. I don't know if you know this, but it's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle-belling and everyone telling you, be of good cheer, it's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all. With those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing, and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. Let's see, what else we got? Did you also realize that I hope you have yourself a merry little Christmas, that your heart will be light, and from now on, your troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. I hope you make the Yuletide gay, and by that I mean happy and joyful. And from now on, your troubles will be miles away. See, here we are as in olden days, happy golden days of yore. Faithful friends who are dear to us gather near to us once more. Through the years, we all will be together, if the fates allow, hang a shining star upon the highest bough. So have yourself a merry little Christmas now. Let's see here. It's comfy and cozy and, no, our cheeks are nice and rosy, and comfy and cozy are we. We're snuggled up together like two birds of a feather would be. There's a birthday party at the home of Farmer Gray. It'll be the perfect ending to a perfect day. Nothing in the world, there's a happy feeling nothing in the world can buy when they pass around the chocolate and the pumpkin pie. It'll nearly be like a picture print by Currier and Ives. These wonderful things are the things we remember all through our lives. And of course, there's no place like home for the holidays. Because no matter how far away you roam, if you want to be happy in a million ways, for the holidays, you can't beat home sweet home. So does anybody see what's happening here? There is a fictional ideal of what the holidays are supposed to be like, what Christmas is supposed to be like. And it's, these are written by people who want to sell songs. It's written by people who probably want to sell merchandise. And they want to create an environment that's kind of like the Hallmark kind of Christmas. And it's marketing. And the world's ideas of what things are supposed to be like, it gets into our hearts and into our minds. And we start to think, well, let me compare my experience to what the ideal is. And usually, I don't know about you, but if you look at these, you know, I mean, for all of us, it's not, maybe it's not gay happy feelings that we have when we think about the holidays. Or maybe it's not that we're going to have a million different things that are going to be, that, you know, bring us happiness by being home for the holidays. And so you can start to, you know, say, well, my experience doesn't match what this ideal is that I've been told. And these things, you know, like you can be at Starbucks and that's playing in the background, you know, or you're driving down the road in the radio and there it is playing. And you don't, it's not like you sit there and go, oh yeah, it's supposed to be like that, but it seeps its way in. And it does think that you do think that's the way it's supposed to be like it. And I don't know about you, but if you start comparing, it usually doesn't go well. And it doesn't just apply during the holiday season. In fact, we're being bombarded constantly. Every time you open up your phone, every time you open up your computer, every time you turn on the TV, every time you turn on the radio, every time you drive down the road and you see a billboard, every time you open up a magazine, every time you read a blog, every time you watch a television show that, you know, deals with a specific issue, there's something that's being sold. There's an ideal that's being put out there. And it's a lot more prevalent today because of these very things than it ever has been in the past. I mean, you've got Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and I'm old, so I don't know what all the most recent ones are, but there's a social media industry that spends billions trying to market to us to be a part of this marketing campaign. And they're selling you an ideal in a lot of different ways. They're selling you an ideal on how do you look? What does your body look like? What's your social life look like? What kind of clothes do you wear? What does your home look like? How about your marriage? How about your kids? How about your finances? Vacations, career, experiences, hobbies. Everything is out there where somebody else is telling you this is what, you know, it's supposed to be. And I don't know about you, but as that goes on for me, then I start to think in terms of, you know, I'm discouraged, I'm frustrated, I'm deflated, and it may not immediately come to why is that, but the other thing is I get very self-focused, and it's like, what is my thing doing that is not matching up to what's supposed to be is happening in my life? I mean, that's really what it comes down to. So there's an answer, luckily, always in what God does for us. And so let's look back to Hebrews 12, where we talked about we were going in the beginning. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and this is right after the Faith Hall of Fame, you know, so we're talking about all the heroes who gave up their lives and did great things for God and lived their lives faithfully, and then the writer continues in the next chapter and says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, of faithful people, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And that's what this kind of stuff is. This is the stuff that hinders. It's the thing that gets in our minds and our hearts that hinders us from God. And it causes us to want to sin, which is the stuff that entangles us. So he says, instead, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And that's really the key, is what I have realized in my experience is if I'm focused on all these things that the world is telling me I'm supposed to measure up to, or feeling like, you know, how does my life compare, or am I where I'm supposed to be? Then I get in a bad place. But not when I fix my eyes on Jesus. When I fix my eyes on Jesus, you know, it's ironic that that's when the things that, you know, of these ideals really come into play. That's when I feel contentment. That's when I feel gratitude. That's when I feel joy. When I think about that God would love me enough to send his only son to live the life that he lived and die the death that he died and be raised, that's when those types of things that fictional songs talk about really come into my life. It says, for the joy set before him, Christ endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we should consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that we will not grow weary and lose heart. And so That's what I would encourage you during this holiday season and really in life. Let's not get distracted and let's not let somebody else tell us what the agenda is. Let's let our hearts and minds be focused on Jesus and on what he's done for us on the cross. And the ironic thing is that, you know, if you think about the ideal life and you think about, you know, what would anybody want to have, Jesus had it. Jesus was in heaven with the Father, completely satisfied, happy, joyful, nothing to break his perfect relationship with God. And he actually gave up that and decided that he was going to come down and suffer for us, for me and for you. So as we, not only as we take the bread and the juice right now and as we go through the holidays, but let's really try to make our life be about fixing our eyes on Jesus and considering him. Let's pray.